Hey there, folks. Welcome to another episode of The Smooth Burrito. I'm Frank.
And I'm Trevor.
And yeah, we got a cool new look for you. I tossed together some shit in OBS on the fly that looks pretty nice. So, of course, if you're listening via audio, you're not going to be able to see it unless your X-Men mutant powers have activated. And if so, please proceed to your nearest Xavier Institute. But yeah, today we're going to go over a little bit of news. I don't think there's a ton of it. And then we're going to talk about what we've been playing, of course. And then we're going to talk about The Last of Us. So yeah, we might as well light this candle with talking about what we've been playing first, because I had that flip backwards. If you want to go ahead and Trevor.
Yeah, sure. That was a lovely intro, Frank. I enjoyed it. So I've been playing a lot of stuff because it's that time of year and there's just so much stuff out. I'll start with God of War Ragnarok. Almost finished it. I'm very close, maybe 80-90% through the game. Love it. It improves on the God of War in 2018 in almost every way. And I would say it just, the one downside is it just feels like more God of War. And I would say like the first 25% of that game just feels like God of War 1.5. It does eventually get very wild, and I won't like spoil anything, but like it does get substantially more robust after the first, you know, 25% or so of the game. But I will say, like, it definitely feels like a game that was made for PS4 for that generation. It doesn't feel as like next level as, say, I don't know, even Horizon did early in the year. It feels like this was a PS4 game that was built for PS4, that was built for that generation, that was, you know, released on PS5. But it's still a great game. Love it. Having a blast with it.
Yeah, I have the one that they did before that, which was just called God of War, if I'm not mistaken. I have that one, and I've been looking forward to playing it now that you've been talking about Ragnarok a bit. I hear it's pretty cool, so I'll probably check that out shortly.
I would say like everything's improved. Like I thought God of War 2018 was an absolutely incredible game, and for the time it was like almost perfect for that type of game, for that, you know, Sony blockbuster exclusive with, you know, the more linear story. It did add some more like open aspects to it, but it ultimately was an amazing game. And then Ragnarok just improves on every element of it, in every aspect. It's great.
Nice. Well, I've been playing weird old fighting games, of course, because, you know, I always do that. And yeah, just been having some fun. We played Terrordrome recently for what we called Fraudoween, which was, you know, November 5th. But we still wanted to do a Halloween stream, so we just did it then.
Right.
But that was really fun. Terrordrome's like a fighting game made in the Fighter Maker 2K engine by a dedicated team of horror fans who put a bunch of copyrighted characters into the game, like Freddy and Leatherface and Jason and shit. So obviously they can't sell it at all. They do have a newer version that they are selling on Steam, which has all the copywritten characters removed and changed out with you know, some more folklore horror stuff, which that's cool. I want to play that game too, but the original is just completely fucking nuts and out there. It's hilarious seeing, like, the guy from Reanimator beat the shit out of Pumpkinhead. Yeah, and it's a hilarious. Good game to boot. It's fun to play, so had a lot of fun with that.
That's awesome.
Other than that, I can't really think of anything much non-fighting I've been playing. Obviously, played The Last of Us, which we'll get to. But yeah, other than that, I have not been touching much.
I do want to mention that I've been playing Pokemon Scarlet. I am a huge Pokemon fan. this game 100% has some issues. The frame rate's a disaster. There's all kinds of weird, corny ass bugs that are probably funnier than they are game breaking. But the actual game itself in there is easily the best Pokemon game of all time.
Wow.
It's not even close. I mean, it is like it is exactly what we've all been asking for from a Pokemon game. I mean, and I'm not talking about the bugs and the disaster of the performance that we get and the horrible frame rate. And people want to complain about the hardware, but I've seen much more, you know, involved games, much bigger games, perform significantly better on this machine than this. This is clearly just a game that was released far too early, but Pokemon is a very profitable franchise. I'm sure it needed to get out the door. But what is there can hopefully be patched performance-wise. This is an absolutely amazing Pokemon game. Open world, tons of stuff to do. I find myself getting lost for like hours in this game. It's really, really good. I wish it performed better. I do. I think it will. I think ultimately, from what I've been reading, the issues with the actual game itself should be able to be patched. And Arceus had some issues at the beginning of the year as well. And it only took them about a week to get a patch out to fix the majority of the bugs and things that it was showing. So hopefully soon Scarlet and Violet get a patch and everybody can enjoy this game a little bit more, because yeah, I'm loving it. It's great.
Yeah, I'm sure that like they'll iron those issues out. From what I could tell, it seemed that a lot of things were down to like memory leak issues and stuff like that, because I saw some reports of people playing it on the Steam Deck and like them like under emulation having a lot less in the way of issues. Because, you know, that thing has a lot more horsepower than the Switch, so it can just kind of plow through the poor optimization. But it's cool that it's apparently a really good game. Like, I know people have wanted the old open-world Pokemon experience for a while, and I never really got why they didn't pursue that earlier.
I think they tried to with Sword and Shield. They, like, dipped their toe in the water with those, like, multiple open areas. That you can go into, and then they did that again with Arceus, again with more like isolated areas that were open, but nothing like this. I mean, this is like essentially a Breath of the Wild type like open world where you can just like go do whatever you want whenever you want.
Yeah, and I suppose that like the difference between loading a static area and, you know, loading like the bounds of the player around you, and basically just like having that be a moving target is probably where the memory leak issues come in.
They also did some like really, really ambitious stuff with it. A certain like in Pokemon battles, they always like took you out of the area you were in into this like kind of isolated like environment where you would do the Pokemon battles and then it would load a bit back into the area once you finish. They just happen. And like all the stuff that was happening around you whenever you kind of initiated that battle still is happening around you. And when you come out of that battle, the like say you wanted to catch like another Pokemon in that area, it's still there. Like you could still go like grab whatever was there prior to you initiating the battle. So there's a lot of like interesting, ambitious stuff that they did that clearly they haven't tried before. And that is probably why they're having like quite a few issues with how the game's performing. There's just a lot of, they really tried to like shoot for the stars with this one.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm glad they did. Honestly, from the outside looking in, a lot of the Pokemon games felt samey, like they've just been kind of iterating and like, you know, new stuff has been happening, but like it's over several generations that you'd get these new features and changes. But yeah, is it the battles, is it like, do you get taken into like does time pause around you and everything stops moving, or do you have to somehow deal with shit going on while you're fighting?
There's shit going on in the background, but like not really, and not really like so much that it's like distracting. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's, yeah, it's not a bother. Like, it kind of zooms in on the Pokemon while they're fighting. The UI comes up. UI is also great in this one. Like, I like it a lot, but the, there might be like other Pokemon. There's not going to be any like Pokemon and stuff that like kind of like get in the middle of the battle or whatever, but you'll see it in like the background, like stuff moving, people walking around or whatever.
Yeah, I have seen some of like the, you know, the old Fallout 76, Fallout 4 gag, like of cutscenes getting interrupted by stuff, that type of deal. And that was funny. But yeah, I'm glad to hear that aside from the technical issues, you've been enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah, I like it.
So I guess with that, it's time to move on to gaming news, which the Pokemon performance was definitely one of them. Let's see, was there any other big gaming news I wanted to talk about? That Bayonetta thing turned out to be a bigger clusterfuck than everyone thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
That's
true.
Yeah, that lady apparently was a fucking liar, which is great, because, you know, there are people with legitimate voice acting grievances, and now you just made it harder for all those people, I guess.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, what a shit show, for real.
Other than that, I can't really think of anything.
There was the Game Awards.
Oh yeah, the Dorito Pop Awards happened.
Yeah, yeah. And Stray was nominated for everything, including Game of the Year, which I found weird.
I don't like their cats.
I mean, it's so interesting to me, and there were definitely games that probably should have been there instead of that one, but okay. I mean, I played it. It was cool. Was it Game of the Year? Not even close.
These are the people who brought you Sifu in the fighting game category.
Yeah, also. Which,
if that's a fighting game, I want to know why the Yakuza series got snubbed all these years.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's a good point. I haven't even seen anybody bring that up as like an argument. But yeah. There were a lot of interesting nominees and stuff like that. We don't have to go through them all, but that was just one that I thought was really weird that Stray ended up in the Game of the Year instead of just a variety of other games.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just like for me, it's just the draw of that gimmick, and, you know, the fact that the game was apparently, like, you know, people liked it, so that's probably it. But yeah, that's kind of naff, if you will.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just a Stray hater.
Straighter. You're straighter. That's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, I can't really think of any other gaming news. Might as well talk about the footage running in the background of this year logo. So we both played The Last of Us. I played it on the PS4 version. I got a Game of the Year copy. I think you ran through it on PS5.
I did, yeah, I did.
And I'm gonna let you do your thoughts first, because mine aren't good, so.
Aren't good, okay. So, I think this style of game does not hold up as well. I think that I do want to preface this with The Last of Us is a great game. The story told here, I think, is incredible, and I think it holds up well. I'm glad they're making a show, because I'm really interested in what HBO does with it. But this whole style of game that was really popular for a long period of time, this whole Uncharted, Last of Us, God of War thing that Sony was doing with these blockbuster movie games, I don't think hold up nowadays quite as well as they used to. They just feel dated. They don't feel new, and I think a lot of the things that games do nowadays is give players like ultimate control and choice, and these games just don't. They're too linear. It is just walk here, you know, go through this area, do this thing, and then get to the next cutscene. and games were like that for a long time. PS1, PS2, that kind of thing, and then PS3, and then finally PS4 kind of like reached the like limit of what a game like that could be. And I think it doesn't hold up quite as well. Even in The Last of Us 2, which is a little bit of that, they even put like kind of like a few twists on that in terms of how the story was told and played out. But The Last of Us does feel old. As far as the PS5 performance, it looks great. I think that this is the best looking version of this game, obviously, but also one of the best looking games on the PS5. I mean, they really did an incredible job with just the overhaul they did. It isn't just like a remaster, an HD remaster. They really changed a lot of the character models, adjusted how certain things felt in the game, and it ultimately plays just so well. Like, I couldn't go back and play the PS4 version of this game after playing the PS5 version of this game. Is it worth $70? No, because the game is still Last of Us. It's still a 10-year-old game. It still feels dated for the reasons I mentioned before. But this is the best version of the game. And if The Last of Us is one of your favorite games of all time, it is one of mine, then it's worth a run through. Other than that, you could probably skip it.
Yeah, I was playing on the PS4 version, which is very much like just you know, we got the HD, like we got the nicer textures, and we have it running at 1080p 60, and everything else is the same, because I noticed a lot of weird shonky animation glitches in this game. Where, like, really? People will just, like, yeah, I like, there's multiple times, and granted, I'm not gonna, point out this footage because you can't fucking see it, and it's also not the right point, but there's multiple times where just, like, Ellie or one of my followers would immediately snap to where they're supposed to be in the animation, and just, like, you see their model transition over, or Joel picking anything up when he's leaned over, just would act weird, because he just kind of, like, scoot towards the shit. And it felt really unnatural. It looked really unnatural, but I will echo and expound upon your sentiments about this being dated feeling. I think I have a theory that this game design felt dated when it came out, honestly, because this came out in 2013 alongside such luminaries as GTA 5, which, granted, different type of game entirely, I get that, but I felt like I was playing a Gears of War game, and those came out like 2008. It was actually very interesting, because I feel like you can track, like, there's an interesting weird little circle that starts at Resident Evil 4 and with the over-the-shoulder camera stuff, and then Gears of War took direct inspiration from that. And I feel like this game takes inspiration from Gears of War, but it's back to being about zombies, so it's kind of like this interesting survival horror circle. But yeah, like it's basically just a series of arenas where you have to take out the enemies either via stealth or via guns, except when they force you to do it with either stealth or guns, because this game's pretty big about railroading. But yeah, it's a series of those, and then it that is broken up by conversation corridors where people talk to each other and you solve a puzzle. And by a puzzle, I mean you either have to find a ladder or a dumpster or a pallet. That's about it. I didn't think the crafting system added anything to the game. In fact, the crafting system infuriated me, because Joel, the only way that, like, and we're talking ludonarrative dissonance here, where, like, the gameplay and what's actually going on in the story don't really mesh. Joel is supposed to be, like, big zombie survivor man, right? He's supposed to have been doing this for, like, a decade at least. He understands what's going on. That's why he's competent enough to take Ellie through the fucking fucked up lands to, you know, to Spoiler Town. That's where they're going, Spoiler Town. Why is it that he doesn't realize that you can basically make a shiv out of anything? Why doesn't Why did like I pa- there's a part where you pass by two intact scissor lifts, and I'm like, each of those is like 16,000 shivs. Like, just take the bolts out and grind them up. Like, even I know that, and I'm a fat gamer nerd. Same with his shooting. Like, he can't aim worth a damn. And I know that, I believe in interviews, the creator of the game said that they intentionally fuck with the player's aim to make it, like, a more, I don't know, cinematic experience, or whatever superlative I can put on that makes it make any vague sense. But, like, if we're going to sacrifice the fun of the gameplay to support the narrative, why are there points where we're sacrificing the narrative for the gameplay, such as, like, you know, the fact that Joel is a survival man, being an informed attribute, and you, the player, when going around, don't really feel like that? He's a murder machine, don't get me wrong. Like, he's definitely good at killing things. But beyond that, just simple shit like, carry a knife with you, bro. Ellie carries a knife. Like, why don't you have a big fuck-off Rambo knife? Like, and then you could make it, like, instead of having to use a shiv on the clickers, you could have had it be, like, a syringe or something, where it might be rare in the environment that you find it. Like, there was, like, some sort of attempt at a cure that didn't work, but still kills the clickers real good. I don't know. Just, like, stuff like that. I really didn't like the fact about, like, how the game would fuck with your aim. I feel like there are multiple times where I would have someone completely zeroed in, hit them bang on, and they wouldn't take any damage. Including one time at the, by the way, we're probably going to get into mild spoilers if you haven't played this game that's a decade old. But the point at the sniper rifle battle in the neighborhood, where, like, I shot a guy point blank in the chest. It made the fucking X, like, I hit him. And this also happened outside of the Infinite Cypher battle, too, to me. But it made the X, like, I hit him bang on, no reaction. Like, so I'm just like, what the hell's up with that? Are you calculating bullet damage after the fact of the intersection here? Because if so, that's bullshit. Yeah. And then towards
I know what you mean.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. Yeah, I know what you mean. I will say that the PS5 version fixes a lot of those bugs. The whole, like, it does feel more natural. It does feel like a PS5 game, or like a current generation game, where, like, you don't get those weird wonky animations where, like, you're, like, sliding a little bit to grab something up, where, like, your player just, like, moves. I know exactly what you're talking about with that. Or, like, stuff that kind of, like, takes you out of, like, the cinematic experience that they tried to create for you. The PS5 version seems to fix the majority of those, and it did feel much more modern. But like you said, I just feel like this whole game design of clear this area, more story, clear this area, more story. And you're just kind of moving through the motions to get to the next story point.
Yeah.
Rather than finding, like, these incredible mechanical experiences, where I will say God of War Ragnarok, for example, as I spoke earlier, suffers a lot of these same problems, where it does feel a little bit more like a PS4 game because of the fact that it is more move through these areas and then get more story. You're kind of, like, still moving forward based on getting more story, but it does do some really creative stuff with how the storytelling is implemented, but also it does open up quite a bit and let you, like, explore things, do some side quests, do some other shit to, like, kind of upgrade your gear. It's got this whole, like, gear score situation, which sometimes, if done poorly, is really detrimental to the game, but God of War does it well. Last of Us doesn't have anything outside of that story to move you forward, which feels really dated in concept to me.
Yeah, there's no real sense of, like, and I'm not saying every game needs to be an open world game. Like, I'm fine with linear game design. I think that you can have really good linear game design, but it felt like it's basically a hunt for cutscene triggers. Either a cutscene trigger in the environment, or the cutscene trigger of killing all the guys, or getting away from the thing. And yeah, just a really, really limiting experience. It's all these beautifully rendered environments that it feels like you should be able to explore that are then artificially gated off by either things that should be traversable that aren't for gameplay reasons, because, you know, the game needs to keep you hemmed in, or, like, just places that you can't explore straight up because the game doesn't want you to do that.
Super controlled environments, yeah.
Yeah, and I could feel the hand of the designer on my shoulder constantly guiding me towards what I was supposed to do. And it's funny that the game starts with, like, telling me, I can't remember if it told me in the pause menu or what, but it was like, you can approach any encounter any way you like. You can either use stealth or you can go in guns blazing, and that's not true at all. There are encounters where they obviously expect you to use stealth, and there are encounters where they obviously, like, they will have guys staring who will never move at the only point that you can cross in a building. I'm talking about, this happened at a part where I was playing as Ellie, where you have to go fight Edgar Allan Pedophile. Like,
yeah,
just the guy staring who will never move, even though every other enemy has a patrol route, in order to have that guy see you so that they can, you know, fucking run up on you. Like, and if you're betraying your design that you have stated to me as a thesis at the start of the game, I feel like you failed as a game designer.
Yeah, I agree.
And yeah, it felt like a really dated experience, although I will give it this, and granted, this might be like that. I went and checked out the Giant Bomb quick look of the original version just after I had finished it, just to kind of get an ear to the ground of where reviewers were at with it at the time. And the PS3 version of this, ooh boy.
Yeah.
That's a frame rate, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's not great. I agree.
Like, sub 30.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've played the PS3 version, obviously, but yeah, just bad.
Yeah, but this game, like the PS4 version, looks really nice. I think if I'm going to give this game anything, it's that, like, the environment design, everything looks really good. Like, but I do have to temper that with the fact that, like, graphics are going to get better. Like, it's kind of expected at this point that graphics would improve between generations, and you could do something that looks like this. And there's also games that, like, even when the original came out, looked as good as this. Like, you know, GTA 5 looked as good as The Last of Us, in my opinion. The original version, at least. It didn't, like, the GTA 5 of now looks as good as this Last of Us of now, although I haven't played the PS5 version. But this PS4 version, comparing it to the equivalent PS4 GTA 5, I think they look similar. Like, but yeah, I don't know. Nice environmental design. The story is another thing that I do have to talk about, because I didn't like it. I didn't see it doing anything that hadn't been done in, like, even if you just want to stick to zombie movies, I didn't really see it doing anything too revolutionary in that aspect. And also, just some of the morals that I got from the story were kind of off to me. Like I know that the actual point is supposed to be that Joel was a broken man who had his heart healed by taking Ellie through the thing and getting to see a giraffe and blah blah blah. Like he went from getting a mass murderer. Yeah, the long journey from being a mass murderer to being a mass murderer who saw a giraffe once.
Yeah, I do disagree. I thought the story was easily the best part of it. I do think that is the part of it that does hold up the best. I feel like I could play this game 10, 20 years from now and still appreciate the story, the character development, the world building. I felt that, yeah, sure, some of the, like, cliches are there, but the characters really stuck with me. I liked the relationship building they did with Joel and Ellie. I like the, I mean, we won't touch on the ending dilemma, but I do really like how it left things a little bit open to perception and had a lot of people divided on opinions on how they would approach the situation had they been in those shoes. I do appreciate some of the situations that they were put in, some of the choices that were made. I thought overall the story holds up. I enjoyed it a lot, and I'm really looking forward to the show that actually starts in January, just because I would like to see how they interpret this, because I feel like this is better as a show or a movie than it would be a game, because mechanically it doesn't do anything revolutionary, but the story is what kept me going, and why I like it and don't mind replaying it.
I will agree with you in that it probably has more value as a linear narrative, like a movie or a TV show, than it does a video game. But I do have to, like what I got out of the story is the major theme that I found for me was the game was saying, stick to your own kind, other people are scary, and science is evil and will hurt you. Like, those are the two themes that I got out of this. And granted, like, I'm not a literary scholar or anything. I'm just a guy who's watched a lot of movies and read a lot of shit. But, like, maybe I'm pulling the wrong things out of this, but I got that. I also, like, the weirdest thing for me to notice, and I don't think there's enough weight to this that I can pull out to make, like, an actual cogent argument about it. It's just a thing that I noticed, but, like, all of the non-white people in this game get killed. Like, all of them. Like
all of them, yeah.
All of them. Right. All of the main characters that are not white get killed, and then, like, I noticed, like, when you go to, like, Joel's brother's little enclave hut, like, only the enemies seem to not be white, and I'm just like, this is weird. This is real weird. I'm not going to go back and, like, fucking comb through it to figure out whether or not I'm 100% correct on that. But there's that. There's the fact that, like, the regular zombies, not the clickers and the ones who are more fungal, I guess. But the regular zombies just kind of act like, you know, your standard description of, like, tweakers or homeless people or something. And granted, this is a problem that has arguably plagued zombie fiction since its inception, that, like, what do the zombies mean? And in some cases, like, I think, like, Night of the Living Dead, they're kind of not representing the same thing that they are here. Like a lot of zombie fiction is just basically used as an excuse as, what if I could kill a lot of people and get away with it?
What if I could kill a lot of people and get away with it?
Which, granted, Joel just kills a bunch of regular people and gets away with that, too. They are creepy libertarians, but, like, he still kills a shitload of people. Which, like, the game does make a point of pointing out narratively and use... I know it uses it in the sequel. Just knowing what I do about the opening of that game. But, like, it does feel rather dissonant when you're supposed to be... Like, you're supposed to be former murderer learning how to be a dad, and then you're still, like, Ramboing through a shitload of people. Which, just going back to the gameplay for a second, I do think that fighting people feels better than fighting zombies. I felt that, like, they say the clickers only respond to their hearing. That's a lie. Like, they can see me. They can fucking see me. Because they respond to just looking at me, like. But I found the zombie behavior a bit too erratic for my taste, whereas the human behavior was almost, like, too lockstep for my case, where a lot of the encounters ended up being me finding a good spot to lure people to, and then just doing the strangulation mambo in a circle until they all died.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know, like... Both gameplay and narrative-wise, I don't think this game's doing much in any... it's not really doing anything revolutionary, in my opinion, at least. Like, and this is all just my opinion for anybody who, like... Actually, no, that's good for engagement. Please, flame me. Flame me on YouTube, tell me I'm wrong. Like, come on, come at me, bro. But,
I mean, we also do have to think about, like, when you say revolutionary from a storytelling standpoint, 2013... I do not think that there were that many games back in 2013 that were putting together a story that is worthy of TV movies. Most game story back then were, it was kind of the reverse, where it was just piecing together a story to get you to play through the mechanics, whereas this feels more of piecing together the mechanics to get you to play through the story. And I do feel like back in 2013, there just, I can't really count that many games back then that had a story this well written and put together.
Well, you had stuff, and granted, like, you're probably going to say that these don't measure up, but you had stuff like Gears of War. You had you had John Halo's Funtime Adventures, which are all about being, you know, cinematic and whatnot. You had I was just thinking about it and then I lost it. You had games like BioShock.
Okay, BioShock is up there for sure. But it told a story through world building, which is probably even better. But it was different than this, but yeah, BioShock is up there for sure.
Yeah. And in terms of just like making me feel something, giving me a sense of pathos, part of my problem with The Last of Us is that it's so dour. And I understand, yes, the zombie apocalypse would suck. Like, this would absolutely suck. But there was not really any levity, and any levity that, like it felt like the game was building, like, when you meet a certain character about halfway through. Any levity it felt like the game was building, it would immediately undercut just so that Joel could feel more man pain. But, like I look at this, and then I look at fucking Saints Row 2. Yeah, the fun time shoot 'em up game about hitting people with dildos, although that's 3 and not 2, but I split hairs.
Yeah, 2 is more a GTA clone.
Yeah, that game has points where I feel pathos for the characters, and I feel the story beats, which I won't spoil, but like, that game made me feel more than The Last of Us, and I think it just has to do with the contrast between, like, those moments of, like, emotion and the rest of the video game, whereas it felt like The Last of Us would try to make those artificially by, like I said, having those moments of levity and then immediately undercutting them. But yeah. Like, as far...
There were not a lot of, like, come-away happy moments in this game. Everything was ultimately depressing. It's not a game where you're going to be... There's no fucking happy ending. Sorry to spoil it for you. There's no happy ending. Like, there's no come away from certain situations with any sort of, like, rewarding thought. It is dire. It is depressing. It is just... It's a game that, like, is definitely down and out, dude.
Yeah, and I get the, like, I know that's the point, at least narratively, but when you weld that to the fact that the game itself doesn't feel good to play, it's like on two fronts I'm being told you should be feeling bad right now. And I need at least one front where I feel good. And granted, there were moments in this game where I felt good, but a lot of those were the points where Joel would magically get infinite ammo for a reason. Like, yeah. Like when you're hanging upside down by the refrigerator or the sniper battle. Like, and also just going back to, like, why isn't Joel better at survival shit? Why wouldn't you pick up as many bullets as you can see? Why am I finding bullets and it says full? He has a backpack.
I agree. I get what you're saying.
Like, the gameplay wise, I would play. If you want to replicate The Last of Us in a more, that video file end. No, what's it? I must have had to fuck with the thing or something. But anyway, gameplay wise, in The Last of Us, like, if you wanted to replicate the experience, what I would recommend is watching something like, I don't know, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead. Even the fucking Zack Snyder Dawn of the Dead. And then playing Hitman. Like, you'll have a better time.
And then playing Hitman.
yeah, just, like, play Hitman and pause occasionally and watch a little bit of the movie, and you'll replicate the experience.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't look and I like looking at it from now, like I can't judge then because honestly, I had a 360 at that point. Like I think I might have had a PS3, but I didn't have much for it. Excuse me. I was mostly a 360 gamer, so like I knew what I was playing, but like I didn't play the original version of this game. I just watched my roommate play it, but like judging from now, I don't really think that there's a reason to play this. And yeah, that's me personally, but I can't see one. Although,
yeah, I think that it is dated for the reasons that we mentioned. And if you haven't played it before, and you have a PS5, if this game goes on sale, grab it. It's worth playing. But I do.
You're gonna play any version, and you can get that one for a good price because that one is completely rebuilt from the ground up, at least. So it has less of the shock factor that I found in this version. I'm interested to see differences between this version and the PS3 one. I need to see if someone's listed them out anywhere, actually, because I noticed, like, in the Giant Bomb review, they were talking about points where, like, you would take damage in the cutscenes that you can't control, but it would reflect as damage on your character, like, to your health bar. And I think they took that out.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right. I think I know what you're talking about.
Because I didn't notice any of that, and believe me, I would have bitched about it. Like, especially in those like early days, like health and shit is scarce enough to where I would have been angry if the game just decided like, oh yeah, give me a fourth of your health bar. I also didn't like how the difficulty curve felt more like a slope downward than anything. Like, I suppose, like, aside from right at the end where you're fighting soldiers and they're basically hit scan, like, I never really felt as imperiled as I did at the start of the game. Like, once you get more than, like, two guns and the game starts giving you enough ammo, and granted, I played on normal, like, I was just going to go in for, like, what's the average experience of this game, so I played on normal, maybe that would be alleviated by playing on hard or something, but, like, I felt like the game got easier as I went along, which was kind of weird.
Yeah, for sure. I think I agree with you on that.
Yeah, my final thoughts on this, aside from like not seeing a reason to play it, like I said, are like this has given me a lot to chew on, like just thinking wise. Wow, I sound like a real genius while I'm talking here, but like, this has given me a lot to chew on to the point where I might do a more organized, like, video essay on it and why I don't like it. But, I don't like it.
That's my review. And I do like it. And that's my review.
Yeah, we got a thumbs up and a thumbs down here on Ebert and Roper's video game roundup. With that, we got to talk about our next game on the list, which, will take a lot less time to play than The Last of Us, let me tell you. We got Metal Warriors. My favorite Metal SNES game. Warrior.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, it's one of those games where once you know how to play it, it'll take you like an hour maybe, but you know, it's an old SNES game, so you have to figure out what you actually need to do sometimes, and also how to approach situations that, like, I'm not gonna lie, will just straight up kick you in the nuts. But
yeah, for sure, I'm sure.
But yeah, that game's sick. It's got robots. It's got robots that you can, like, enter in and out of, like, within the level, which I thought was a really cool gimmick. It's got fucking cutscenes for a SNES game, which I think is pretty nuts. It's all pixel art. They're really well animated. Like, the music is good. It's like peak LucasArts, like, of that era. Made by the Zombies Ate My Neighbors team, which is a less good game. I'm going to get the fucking zombie people on me at both ends now. But yeah, I'm excited to check that out. Actually, what is today? Today Wednesday? Yeah, it's Wednesday. So I'm going to be doing a little later in the Fraud Crew Discord, which, Trevor, I will give you an invite to. Gonna just be playing some of the multiplayer casually, because in addition to having a really good single player, it has a really fun multiplayer mode.
That's dope. Yeah, I'd like to check that out, dude.
Yeah, so So yeah, that'll be at like 8 tonight. I don't know why I'm bothering to tell people on a pre-recorded podcast, but
If you happen to have a time machine,
if you happen to have a time machine
on Wednesday, check it out, dude.
But yeah, that'll be cool. And then after that, we're doing Elden Ring, right?
Yeah, I think so. That'd be a good one. Should have give me some time to get some of the games I'm trying to finish up now out of the way and dive back into Elden Ring and give it the appropriate attention.
Yeah, did we have anything else we wanted to talk about?
No, I think I'm good.
All right, cool. I think that's going to put an end to this episode, so we will catch you later.